one verse of Scripture, and it's there in your bulletin. Can anybody tell me where I'm going to read that one verse of Scripture?
1 Corinthians 3:16.
One verse, and you'll be glad to know it's only one verse, right? There are ways to get an amen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You heard that all your life, hadn't you? It's kind of a scary situation when you hear that, isn't it? When the Bible tells you that you're the temple of God, wow. But it goes on and says, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, you say, well, what in the world does that have to do with Mother's Day? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because I'm going to give you a list of names, and yours could be included in this list. But I'm going to give you a list of names from the Bible. And by the way, if you ever want to do a study, do it on women of the Bible. It's a very interesting study. But here are a few of the women of the Bible who had something that we would call unique, but it shouldn't be unique because everything that they were able to have in their day, we can have in our day. And it's not necessarily for women, not necessarily for mothers, it's for all of us. But I want to give you these about the women because our minds are on Mother's Day today, and I'm glad. I was so glad to send that picture of my mom. It sits on my desk to Tom and Dave and tell them that was my mom. They've been accusing me for years that it's not my mom. But it's my mom. And all you have to do is know my mom and know me, and you'd say, yep, he's got Isla in him for sure. That's why Tom calls me Isla. Back in the Old Testament, there was a lady by the name of Sarah. Everybody remembers Sarah and Abraham. She was actually known as the mother of nations. If you know that story, I can't get into all these. I'm just giving you these names, okay? There was another one by the name of Tamar. The Bible said about her, she hath been more righteous than I. She hath been more righteous than I. Wouldn't that be something somebody could have good to say about us, that they were more righteous than I am? I don't know how we would know that, but that's what the Bible says about her. Rahab, remember Rahab? She was known as the woman of faith. Now, there's a reason for me doing this, because every one of you moms here today have your own name you can put in here. And what would you like for the Bible to have said about you? But Rahab, it was a woman of faith, and you know that story. Ruth, everyone remembers Ruth. The faithful daughter-in-law. Hannah, the prayerful mother. Abigail, the woman of good understanding. Esther, the woman for such a time as this. The virtuous woman. I should have left that one till last because I'm going to read the scripture on her. Her price is far above rubies. How many of y'all got a bulletin with something similar to that on the front of it? We did use a few with three roses on the front of it, but the other one has that particular scripture on it. Mary, the mother of Jesus, blessed among women. The sisters Martha and Mary, looking for the Master. Priscilla, she was a leader in the New Testament church. These are all women. Women have their place in the church of the living God. They have their church, their place in the local church. By the way, I can say this real strongly. Without the women in churches today, churches would die out in no time. It's not because men aren't worth anything. It's just that it's a fact that the spirit of women. You see, I don't have to tell y'all that that God made woman special. You're special. You have a special heart. You have a much larger heart than a man does. You understand more of those sensitive issues than men do. And thank God for you. I thank God for Chelsea, who's going to be Brennan's wife. She already understands that boy. And that's amazing, but she'll learn a whole lot more later. I hope Brennan's listening. By the way, he's getting married this month. Next weekend, by the way. Okay, now let me read that scripture because I wanted to do this. I know you've heard this before, but this will give you an idea of how important you are as a woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life, of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. In other words, she's not lazy. She is like the merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Yes. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. This is about a virtuous woman. But how does a person get to that, to where the Bible would say this about this virtuous woman? There is an element that dwells in every one of us, and especially today for our moms, I have to say this to you, that without this particular thing dwelling in you, this person dwelling in you, you will not be the person that the Bible speaks of. You may be a good person, and you may do a lot of good things, but without this element in you, it's not going to happen. As you notice, the title of our message today is The Work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you that item that I'm talking about, that person that I'm talking about that will dwell in you, is the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope and pray that doesn't scare you, because before this message is over today, you're going to find that it's not supposed to be a scary situation. It shouldn't be anyway, because it's not for a scary situation. It's for us to praise God about. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, making you to be what you need to be, and you'll see that He is the one who will make us to be what we ought to be, you're going to leave here today praising God. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says this: For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Your body has so many members, and it's not just the ones that you can see. You know, your fingers, your toes, your arms, your legs, your head, your nose, your ears, your eyes, it's not just about all those items. In fact, there are so many parts of the body that are not even visible. And when we see this parallel of your life with Christ, and you see that there's a lot of things about you that are not visible. They're not visible to the people who are around you. It's okay. It doesn't have to be visible. It will come out in the spirit that comes forth from you. In verse 13, he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And don't let that scare you, okay? Sometimes when we read that, you say, "What in the world are you talking about?" Well, if you had been saved a long time and you'd been studying the Bible, this would be more apparent to you probably. But if it's not, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get there. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now let's get to the Scripture here and see what the Lord has for us, okay? Bow our heads for just a moment. Our Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this Scripture. We thank you for this message. And Lord, we thank you for this time here together to not only pay tribute to our moms, Lord, but to see that all of us, whether we are moms or not, whether we're female or male, it does not make any difference, Lord. We all must come under the same recipe for life, for a successful life. And we thank you for your word that gives us that. And we praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Much confusion exists about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. It does. I grew up in the old time churches way back when there was a lot more emotion maybe than now, and I hope that's not bad. I do know that can go both ways. There can be emotion without substance. I know that. I would rather you have the substance along with the emotion, if that's okay. And y'all know me, I get emotional. I do. That's the female part of me. Just thought I'd share that with you. It's okay to be emotional about things. In fact, about your life with Jesus Christ, there ought to be some emotion. There ought to be something coming from you that you feel inside. Because emotion is what you're going to see coming out that's in. And whatever's in there is going to come out and show in our lives. But there's a lot of confusion about this work and the person of the Holy Spirit. Because we have treated the Word of God carelessly and just reading over it and assuming that that's what it means. We need to do a study in the Bible. We don't just read. We read and study so that we can understand some of these things. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit, don't you? I do. I want to know more about Him. Because we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three, yet one, and we need not shy away from either one. In fact, we ought to draw close to all three. Draw close to God. He said, "If you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you." And if we're drawing nigh to Him, we're going to be drawing nigh to God the Son, and we're going to be drawing nigh to God the Holy Spirit, because they're three yet one. So we can't get away from that. And I'm going to try to lead you to the point to where you understand that all the things that I said about the mother in Proverbs, it is because that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we realize that, and we allow Him to work out of us and through us. But I want to give you a for instance about the confusion about the Scripture on the Holy Spirit, especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that we shy away from unless you're Pentecostal. Amen? Well, I'm Baptocostical. I got a little bit of all of it, okay? And I just thank God for it. I grew up around Pentecostal churches, old Free Will Baptist churches, Baptist churches, Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, Missionary Baptists, Saved Baptists. You know, there's all kinds of denominations out there. But now you know me. If you've been around here long, you understand I'm not into denominations. I am into this right here. And what comes from that, folks, is really good for me. But here, I want to give you, just to try to solve this situation about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's only mentioned seven times in the New Testament. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned seven times. You would think it would be mentioned a lot more than that because it's so important, right? And it is. But there's five of these seven have to do with prophetic things, don't have anything to do with us actually in our everyday life with the Lord. They were prophetic. One of them is historical, or history. I shouldn't have said historical, is history. There's only one of these that is doctrinal. And the doctrinal one is the one I'm going to lead you into today. And I've just read it for you. And this is the one where he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now that's a doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine. That's not a denominational doctrine at all. If you believe that, then you're in good company, because it has nothing to do with what denomination you are. You've got to believe that it is a doctrinal statement, and you're going to know before you leave here today that you've been baptized into one body with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got some good friends. In fact, one of my really good friends back years ago was of the Assembly of God, and he was a pastor of Assembly of God, where they believed in tongues. And we don't believe that tongues are necessary for today, but you think I would fall out with him? Why, goodness gracious, no. We understood that if you spoke in tongues, we understood there need to be an interpreter there if the tongues were spoken. And it's not something that I would shy away from. It's something that I just don't believe, according to the Word of God, that it's necessary for today. That's a doctrinal statement. But I've been baptized into the body of Christ. Amen? And my wife would tell you I speak in tongues sometimes. Okay? That's okay with me. I don't mind that. But it's more important that I not be highly spiritual. And when I say highly spiritual, because we've always thought, I'm just giving you things you've always known. We've always thought that the folks who were on that side of that particular doctrinal statement, that they were more spiritual about things than we are. They have a different mode of worship. That's it. Don't ever look like it, like somebody's more spiritual than you are. If you've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, how far could you take that, right? So it doesn't make any difference what your mode of worship is. By the way, here, you can shout if you want to. Okay, all you just said that, I want to hear you. You can say amen anytime you want to. If you agree, say amen. It's good. You see, there's nothing, if you want to stomp your foot, if you want to clap your hands to the truth that's been spoken, just like you clap for the choir when they sing, or Tom, or whoever's doing the special singing, if God gives you something out of His Word that drives home a truth to you and just blesses you, give Him a hand. Amen? You can do that. So we're not locked down here. When you came in, nobody put cuffs on you, right? Nobody's locked down here. You can worship as long as it's in good taste. Hey, like that. And the Holy Spirit is in it, you have at it, okay? Are you with me? But if you start running, be careful. Don't fall. Now, this verse of Scripture, this one gives us, this one particular verse gives us the spiritual significance of this baptism that he's talking here. It has nothing to do now with the speaking in tongues or the highly spiritual things or anything like that. And that takes away nothing from that. It's just a way of worship, and it's quite all right. It has to do with placing people as members into the mystical body of Christ. Now, you may have never heard it like that, but that's exactly what it is. And to kind of put that where we can understand it, I did look up the meaning of the word mystical. Okay, so that we can all know that this is a good word to use in this case. The mystical body of Christ. Have you ever thought about yourself being in the mystical body of Christ? That's better than any cartoons you can see on Saturday morning. That's better than Power Rangers. All these movies they're coming out with now, they can absolutely control the world. Yeah. This has nothing to do with that, folks. This has to do with us being in the mystical body of Christ. That ought to make us shout, knowing that that's where we are. Because that's what this verse does. Now look at what mystical means so that we can go on from there. Having a spiritual meaning or reality that is neither apparent to the senses. Are you with me? That is neither apparent to the senses or obvious to our intelligence. Tells me that sometimes you just can't figure out what God's doing inside you. Amen? You just can't always figure it out. Because sometimes what happens to us in a spiritual sense, there is no intelligence out there that can describe it. Certainly not mine. Okay? I'm not there. And neither are any of us, I don't believe. Because when you get into the mystical body of Christ, you just accept that's exactly what you are. You're in the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. And it goes on to say, relating to or resulting from an individual's direct communion with God. Now, if you've not been in communion with God, you won't understand this. But if you say that you're a saved individual, you must have had some communication with God. You must have had a time when you sat down or got on your knees and you said, God, I need to talk to you. And He talks back to you. You have this communion with Him. And this is what this is all about. It results from this. If you've had a good conversation, and I get folks telling me all the time, boy, I had a good time talking to the Lord last night. I had so many things burdening me down. I had so many things bothering me. And I just went to God in prayer, and I just had a wonderful time talking to God. Well, that's where this comes out of, folks. Relating or resulting from an individual direct communion with God. Have it. It's good. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where He says, I am in Christ Jesus. That's where I am. If somebody ever asks you where you are, say, I'm in Christ. That'll really get them to thinking. They may even ask you another question back. What are you talking about? Then you get a chance to witness to them. Because in verse 12, He says exactly this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So what we know about this body and all the members of this body and how this body is made up, then so is the body of Christ. I am in the body of Christ. Many members, one body. So also is Christ. The complexity of the human body is absolutely awesome. Now, I know that a few weeks ago, and I remember these looks just like it was yesterday, when I started talking about DNA, some of you thought I'd lost my mind talking about spiritual things, and I'm talking about DNA. I'm going to bring it back up today, because until you get it, I'm like the old Marine Corps drill instructor. Until you get it, I'm going to keep bringing it at you, okay? Because I understand that God made this body. And when He's talking about bodies, He knows exactly what He's talking about. And I know how complex this body is. I know very little. I know all that I can see, and that's it. That's why I go to doctors. I expect that what they have learned will help me keep this body going as long as it can possibly keep going. But here He's talking about the complexity of this human body. When David understood this, and I don't know how much he understood, but when he understood this, he put it this way. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. What he meant by that, only he knew. I get a kind of a little glimpse of it because I too know enough about it to know that, wow, no man down here could have created this body. It had to be God who created the human body and all of life that's in the universe. It had to be God who did that. It's made up of many cells that work as one. Now, when I said many, how many of y'all have a number for how many cells are in a human body? Nobody? Millions. Could go into billions. Who knows now? They're learning more every day. Millions, millions of cells that go into making one. How would you like to make that happen? Well, God did make that happen. And each cell, here's where I ran into my DNA, and I got to share this with you, because when it was obvious to me, because I like forensics. Oh, I told you what I watch on TV. I like to watch them figure stuff out like that, and it's amazing how that they can come up with something that happened 20, 30 years ago and find out that it wasn't what they said at all, because the science has got it figured out now that this is the way it is. Well, each cell has a copy of the master plan for your body and its function. Each cell has its own master plan of the whole body. Millions. Now, if you want to know how complex you are, when you're hard to get along with, there's nobody in here this morning that's hard to get along with, right? There's something that happened inside your cells, okay? You need to get a little bit of control here, because something's happening inside your cells. All these cells have this blueprint, this blueprint, and it's often called the code of life. How many of y'all have heard that one? The code of life. That is your DNA. That's what it is. That's why I said God has created this body. He has made it so that we can't understand it, but we know that He put us here for a purpose and a reason. Now, how my hands work, how my legs work, my arms work, that's a mute point. It's what I am from the inside out, not from the outside in. When I understood that I was lost, you see, I come to the conclusion that this is not all there is, living down here for 50, 60, 70, 80 years or 90, and then you just are gone. I knew that even as a young person, I knew that there was more than that. God put that in me, by the way, also. And I think He installed that in my DNA. I think it's right there where I could say, I need a Savior. Sin is killing me. Sin is going to send me to an eternal hell, and I need a Savior. And I do believe that God puts that in us so that we can wake up one day and see that. So this DNA that I'm talking about, it's that blueprint, that code of life of all those chemical molecules known as the DNA, and it's working in every one of us today. It is the DNA of your body that tells the cellular components how to behave. That's how important it is. Now you say, what's this got to do with the Holy Spirit? Surely you've got that figured out by now. If you ask the Lord to save you and God the Holy Spirit moved in you, and according to the Word of God, that's what happens. Amen? That the Holy Spirit moved in you, and that's where we allow Him to live out of us, because this body is a temple of God, and we allow Him to live out of us. Folks, that's where it all is. Mercy. Holy Spirit is our spiritual DNA. He's the one who tells us how to behave. Amen. Yeah, because sometimes we act like we don't know how to behave. You say, you talking to Christians? Sure am. I'm one of them. See, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. The Holy Spirit is our DNA. The Holy Spirit is the one who tells me where I need to be and what I need to be doing. And the baptism, here's the two elements of this thing in that verse of Scripture is, the baptism puts the believer into the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Spirit when He puts us into the body of Christ. But the drinking that He mentioned down there in the latter part of verse 13, where He says, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's why Christians ought to be in the same mind. We ought to be looking for the Lord to work in every one of us the same way. Are we going to have the same personality? No, but we have the same love for the Lord. We have the same Lord. We have the same Master, the same Savior. There's that part should always be the thing that brings us closer together. I would not take on the job. Now, if you ever hear preachers talking about how hard it is to pastor a church, believe them, it's okay. Because you're dealing with 100 or more people who have different personalities. But this is the one thing that we ought to give some study to so that we We let the Holy Spirit control us so that our personality is not what shows. What do you think, Brother Ron? Yeah. Our personality is not what shows. It's what God does through us is what ought to show. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit that should be showing, not us. So it would make it really easier on the pastor. Okay? If we could get to that point. So please, let's move toward that point, okay? But the drinking puts us into the body of the Christian. That's the drinking of the Spirit of God. I took a drink. Man, was it good. And to allow him to work out of me, it's just awesome, I'm telling you. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, if you could get there for just a moment, I want to share this with you because this tells me what it was that he gave me. When he talked about me being baptized in the Holy Spirit, here's what happened to me, and I am a part of this. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, here's what he says. Then Peter said unto them, doesn't matter who them were, okay? Don't try to figure that out or you'll miss this whole point. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then what will you receive? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all like to get gifts? This is one no one could pay for. There's not enough money in the world to pay for this gift. It could only be given by the one who has control of it all. So if you're a born again child of God today, moms, I want you to go home happy today knowing that you're one of God's children, and as his child, he gave you the best thing he could give you, and that is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the gift of the Holy Ghost is not something you can take home and put it up in the left-hand cabinet beside the sink on the second shelf right to the right. It's not one you can take and put in a closet somewhere where you keep all your stuff that you open 3 years later and say, well, right there that is. It's not something you can put anywhere except in you. And it's that awesome thing that works out of you. What an awesome mother you are. What a more awesome mother you can be if you allow the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit to show forth through you. This is good stuff. No one could make this up, folks. This is good stuff. This is from God. This is from God's word to us today. So he gave you a wonderful gift. And that wonderful gift is that indwelling. That indwelling. Now, let's see how you paid attention. How are we going to know about this indwelling? What verse of Scripture would we read to find out about this indwelling? I read it right at the very first. Now it's all coming back to you. 1 Corinthians what? Yeah. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? By the way, did I tell you that with the TH on the end of that word, it is continuous. It doesn't stop. He don't dwell in you. He dwelleth in you. In other words, he's not going to stop dwelling in you. He's there. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he's there and he's going to stay there? So we have an indwelling. We have a gift of the Holy Spirit of God and he indwells us. And we took a drink and he's in us for good and we're in him for good. I'm in him and he's in me. Isn't that a great way to look at life? What's the way it ought to be? Now, I don't know about you, but stuff like this motivates me. Some people wonder how I stay motivated. It's not because I'm crazy. You know, there are crazy people who are just motivated to do crazy things. And I have done a few of those. But craziness is not my motivation. But in my life with the Lord, in my work with the Lord, I am motivated because I understand what he did for me when he baptized me into the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you the scripture to prove it. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted. Did you trust him for your salvation? If you did, say amen. I like it. There's some sweet voices in here. Oh, yeah. Say that again. Oh, man, together. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Tom. Tom shared a little bit of Todd with us today. I miss that boy. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How do you like being sealed? If you're going to give someone a card and you don't mind if someone else takes a look at it, you'll probably just take the flap and you'll fold it down the inside and stuff it down there because you don't want to lick that thing anyway, right? But if you want to make sure no one but the one it's going to sees this thing, you're going to seal it, and it had better stay sealed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit moved in and you became baptized with the Holy Spirit of God and got a little excitement about life for you, because now it's not about you just living your daily life. It's about you living that spiritual daily life. And you're excited about it. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves in. Well, he wanted to make sure that was not a temporary thing. He wanted to make sure you had it for good. And so he sealed. You are eternally mine, he said. And put the stamp on you. He sealed you. In Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I rest my case, because it's his word. Sealed unto the day of redemption. Just trust his word. His word is true. It is sure. It is a promise that he will not go away from. He always blesses his word. Stay close to his word. Now in Ephesians 1:14, just one verse down, look at what he says. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What is earnest? Y'all ever put any earnest money down? What does earnest money do? Now this is not to a person named Earnest. It does what, Tommy? Oh. Locks down that promise, don't it, brother? It locks it down. It locks it down. So he says, which is the earnest for our inheritance. I already am an inheritance. I don't have to wait. Because, see, for us to get our inheritance down here, there has to be a death. Thought I'd share that with you. For us to get our inheritance, there has to be a death. Well, there was. There was. And I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to inherit what he's got for me. I have it all. Already. His promise is as good as though it happened today. So, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Woo! Unto the praise of his glory. Making you feel a little bit more like a Christian? Huh? Like you're saved? And like you know you're eternally saved? Like you know you're going home to be with the Lord? I tell you what, it's good for me. Sealed for his eternal keeping. You're his, and he's going to take care of what's his. God signed our salvation contract. He did. God signed it. When you said, forgive me of my sin of unbelief and save me, he signed that thing, and he signed his son's name to it, by the way. He did. And then he sealed it by the power of the Holy Spirit forever. Good contract. I hope you know that. What about the work of the Holy Spirit for me? What does the Holy Spirit do for me? What does it do for you? Well, it makes you spiritual. How many of you in here are spiritual today? If you're spiritual, say, woo! Oh, man, that sounded good. Did you hear that? Now, if you had a problem saying it because you couldn't honestly know whether you are or couldn't say that, could I tell you it's okay to get to the place to where you can do that? It is. Don't hold anything back. I'm telling you, in this congregation of people, don't hold anything back. If you feel like wooing, go ahead and woo it. It's okay. Because sometimes if you don't let it out, you'll blow up. Huh? Yeah. I mean, the overwhelming feeling of having the Holy Spirit in you is just so good, you'll blow up if you don't. So let's see what he does. He makes me spiritual. And by the way, this is by the infilling of the Spirit. Very scriptural, not what I'm talking about. It's not a denominational thing. It's the Word of God by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. By the way, he gave us an illustration of this, and I got to show you the scripture for this because otherwise you won't believe me, will you? Say, of course I would. 5:18. Here's what he says. And be not drunk with wine. How's that sound? Pretty good? Wherein is excess. Now listen to what he's saying here. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know, people ask me all the time, is it okay to have a drink? I said, what's your reason for it? Well, it makes me feel good. Is that your real reason? If that's your reason, boy, y'all got quiet. If that's your reason for taking a drink, then get right with God and you'll feel good. Did I say that okay? If you have to drink in excess, and I know about drinking, you say, but you're a preacher. You don't know about drinking. Never did drink, but I sure did spend a lot of time overseas with a bunch of Marines and sailors. Do I know anything about drinking? I know that most of them who went ashore to drink couldn't get back to the ship by themselves. Some of them even ended up in jail. And I'm not going to go into what all alcohol does to your mind. You know what I'm talking about here. And he knows what he's talking about here. And would I say that if you took a drink, you would go to hell? Absolutely not. Because that's not what saves you, and that's not what's going to keep you. Are you with me now? Because, see, he's talking about in excess here. When he said this, he put it this way. Let me get back to it. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He related those two things together because he knows why most people drink. They drink to forget, or they drink to get to where they don't care. We don't need that. The born-again child of God does not need that, folks. And you say, well, what about a little wine for stomach's sake? You have a problem with your stomach? Then go to a wine doctor. Folks, he's given us the prescription for a wonderful life here. All we need is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All we need to be is a part of that one body, Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about all this other stuff. When he gave us that verse of Scripture, he knew exactly what he's talking about. You see, because drunkenness is a temporary fix. It's a temporary fix. I worked with people who would get drunk on Saturday and then try to clear up before so they could get back to work on Monday. It's a temporary fix. You can't drink enough to keep you drunk all of your life so that you don't remember anything or don't have to accept responsibilities of things. You can't do that. You'll die. And the God who created our body, he knew how much that liver could stand. This is a whole different message, I understand, but the Lord led me this way. Is it okay? I'm getting a little further into it than I probably thought. But drunkenness, it's a temporary fix. The indwelling, It's a permanent fix. Not, and I even hesitate to use the word fix, but it's permanent. One is temporary, the other is permanent. Which do you like best? Absolutely. But one more thing that it does, and y'all just keep fanning. Man, I'm enjoying this. I am loving watching y'all fan. It not only, the Holy Spirit in me not only makes me spiritual, it makes me successful. Right, Trace? When you deal with, like in your job, with people, Tracy has to deal with Becky. Can you know how she's tested and pushed to the limits? Makes me successful. Have you ever, on the job, and I'm sure you have, talked to people who just come in with the sweetest spirit, and when they left, you wondered why they came to the doctor, and then it dawned on you. You needed them to come in, or wherever you work. You needed to speak to that person that you spoke to. You see, the Holy Spirit living in you will make you successful. In the art of living, I'm not talking about in your job. You got to study to do your job right. I mean, you got to learn the trade if you're going to do your job right. This has nothing to do with doing the job right. This has to do with what we do right as a person in life. And He'll make you successful because there's nothing unsuccessful about the fruits of the Holy Spirit showing forth through us. In fact, he tells us, I'm just going to read it to you. In 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction. I like that word, don't you? Ye have an unction from the Holy One. It's all about wholeness, folks. It's all about holiness and righteousness. That's what Christian living is all about. It's not a denominational way of life. It's a communicated life between you and God and His Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. That's what it's all about. And so He says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Hey, like that. He just told you that you know all things. Ha ha. So next time your wife tells you that you don't know a thing, you tell her, oh yes, you do. You know all things. You know how that works? That works because the Holy Spirit knows it all. Hey, like that. The Holy Spirit knows it all. And if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you, you know it all. I rest my case. Let's bow our heads. Now, if you're here today and you can honestly say in your heart you do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, boy, this would be a good day to do that. It would be an awesome day, and you could live your life successfully. You could live your life spiritually. You could. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that we've had here today. Thank you for allowing me to have the energy and, Lord, reminding me of where we were in your word. I just thank you for the message, Lord. And I pray that we get the truth of it before we leave here today. And that we go out knowing that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that we allow Him to live through us. We're going to thank you for that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.